store 15 to 20 million
jobs. I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area and the entire world on the internet by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. I am with today Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel. You know Larkin Connolly as the president of SCORE Philadelphia, Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, and he's very, very involved with the American Made movie. And I'll tell you, Mark, everywhere I go, people are talking about what this movie is all about, and they're looking forward to seeing it. And I'll tell you, this radio broadcast and many other radio broadcasts, and Diane Sawyer and so many other people that have come on board promoting the Buy American Made campaign have certainly helped to turn people's feelings around about what is taking place here in America. And I always believe that competition with everything in our life is very, very important. It has to begin with the youngest people playing in the sandbox and the oldest people playing cards at their home or whatever in their senior center. It's got to be competition of some type. We've let some of that go over the years, but in one respect, we have about 88% of the American people employed, but we need that 12% to be employed in order for America to get back to where it really should be. Working in the field of social services, I see so many quality people that could be the best asset to a company unable to get a job because the companies had to downsize, because companies moved overseas during the last 30 plus years. And now it's a big decision to take on a new employee because it's then healthcare, it's all the other taxes involved. It's really got to all come into a melting pot where we get businesses manufacturing back here in the USA. Today, I'm going to start off with Rich. If you were looking to go into business, what would be your first step?
Guys, first off, good morning. I have to tell you, I'm going to need to get a part-time job from all the Taxadelphia expenses that I had. I think I need to go get something part-time. But in all seriousness, I appreciate you guys having me. What would I say to an aspiring business owner? I would say perhaps some of the things that Larkin might say in his sessions, which is that business is extremely difficult in all aspects. If you're a service-related business, you have specific characteristics needed to survive. If you're more in a client services, customer service, whatever it might be, each of those businesses, you have so many things that every single day as a business owner, you have to be mindful of. And jobs are created, as I had said last week, from existing businesses that are growing or new and upcoming businesses that are burgeoning and need staff and manpower and labor. And Michael, every time when you talk about competition, I think to myself that the Michael Blihash somewhere in, let's say, a country in Asia could be having this exact same broadcast saying, well, why can't we get businesses from America to come here? Competition is good. 20, 30 years ago, we didn't have the infrastructure. We didn't have the manpower. We couldn't even imagine to bring in a company such as an ExxonMobil, a Chevron, a big clothing company, a big tech company. Well, you know what? Now we can do it. I think you could actually bring that broadcast right there. Someone there is probably talking about the same thing. The thing with us in the U.S., we spent a lot of time talking the last 20, 30 years. And a lot of those countries were developing. They were getting ready. They were priming themselves for exactly what's happened now, which is to see some of the loss of our commerce and workforce go overseas. So that's my long-winded, sorry, I don't mean to answer your question.
That was a very long-winded
way, but
answer.
It's tough to, Mark will tell you, Larkin will tell you, every one of us will tell you. Right, Henry Chapinski, he does our audio, he's got a business. It's tough to have a business, and it should be, and which is why I say to Mark all the time, we're in business to make money. But hey, banks, I know you're listening, a little bit of help?
Yeah. You know, everyone that goes into business, I mean, it's really tough to go into a business. You have to figure all your expenses. Mark, if you were going into business today, the first thing you have to consider is all the expenses you're going to have to pay before you make the first penny, let alone the first buck.
Right. I always, you know, try to train my guys even to know what it takes to make $1. And, you know, I always, you know, think of that young guy starting out, and they ask me, even my sons that are both, I got twin boys just graduated from high school. Their friends ask me, what's two words? I say, well, you got to have passion, perseverance, and you got to believe. But, you know, you got to get into business, and you got it. It's a sacrifice. It's one of the toughest things you're ever going to do. Again, it's like a mother nurturing its child. You got to really love it. You got to keep your family on your side. You got to have a great wife. I mean, it involves everybody, you know, right from the start. And you can't quit, you know. You just can't quit. But, you know, I try to get them and fired up. You've got to have passion for what you do. And I try to, you know, make sure people realize, you know, don't go into business you don't know nothing about or don't have passion for, because you need passion to drive it. So, you know, it's very hard, these young people, but you need that can-do spirit. We've got to get it back. And, Larkin, I know you support that, and I respect that.
You know, for 30 years, we saw thousands of American-based manufacturers decide, well, we're going to go over and do our production overseas, and we'll just ship it back to America, and Americans will go to the regular stores and pick it up. And believe it or not, that's what happened. And I always say that that's not what should have happened, because the people that took their manufacturing overseas really should have given us major price decreases, because they went overseas, they got cheap labor, they shipped it back and sold it to us here at prices that it would cost us as if it was made here in the USA. So somebody in between is making a lot of money, but it's not the American people, and it's not the American worker, and not even the American government. So we have to get everybody working together on one sheet again, get those costs in line here in the USA, and bring that competition back again.
I teach a course at SCORE, that's the only course I teach at this point, about starting small businesses and what it takes. It's a course in which I try to get the potential entrepreneur's mind right, so they understand exactly what's about to happen to them. And to make sure that they understand how hard they're going to work, they understand how important it is to have their family 150% behind them, and all of the other things that they need to set up in order to do this. You will never work harder, ever, doing anything than you will running your own company or doing your own deal. You just won't, period, amen. And if you're not prepared for that, then you need to work for somebody else. And there's you know, there's a lot of glory in that too. You know, there's a lot of people out there that work for other people that just do fine. As a matter of fact, the highest compliment I ever had paid to me, I was working for Canada Dry at the time on their bottling line, and I was working for a bottler of Canada Dry. And one of my friends said to this guy that owned the company, is Larkin a good worker? And he said, you know what? I'm going to pay him the supreme compliment. This guy works, he works so hard, you'd think he owned the company.
Very good.
And that's a great compliment.
That's a great compliment.
To pay anybody. They work hard. They work so hard that, you know, you'd think they own the company.
And, of course, Larkin, you have credibility talking about business. You were a business owner. You work too hard. You're not a good candidate for the Why Work Party. You know what? Yeah, you're excluded.
Right.
Mark, if you were to do it all over again, what would you say you would like to see happen?
You know, if you did it all again, I love what I've done. I tell people I don't want to do it all again because, you know, it's a lot of hard work. I made good decisions. I couldn't say enough for my family and friends that backed me. You know, some change, you know, the money aspect, like we talk about the banks and giving the money, I wish there was more in the bank for that capital. You can never say enough for having enough capital. You know, capital gives you confidence. Capital allows you to grow. We talk, you know, guys, about we need to get healthy and self-sufficient, not only as a business idea too, but our country needs to do that. And, you know, when you're healthy and when you're feeling good, when you're confident, you grow. you know, and you create jobs and you buy equipment and you come up with ideas, you're feeling good. Lately, in the 4 or 5 years, you're in survival mode. It's just different. You know, the banks are calling you. You know, the what-ifs are there way more. So, you know, to do it all again, just to, you know, I love what I've done. I wouldn't change too much. There's some ideas. I built some different products that I did and run with them, some creations. You know, I failed a lot, but you learn from your mistakes. A lot of people ask me, you know, it wasn't college. It was the mistake way. You make a mistake, and hopefully you don't make that same mistake again.
You know, Mark, in the last broadcast, we were talking about the banks. If you were a person leading people to the bank, how would you like to see the bank react to your application for a loan, knowing that you're trying to work very hard to keep that business afloat, to make it a success, keep people employed? What would you recommend that the way for them to handle that loan should be?
Number one, they got to remember they're selling a product. Their product is money. A lot of times they forget we're the customer. They're the service. They got to remember where we came from, how America was built, and that, you know, yes, you got to check the background. Yes, you've got to have a solid past. Yes, you've got to have a good business plan. But at some point, that's why you're there. And we can shop. You can shop out money, just like buying a car or buying anything. They should, you know, well, open that door, give you a coffee, donut, you know, treat you good, make it easy. Don't treat you like a criminal. Don't treat you like you're doing something wrong. They need to roll out the red carpet to try to get your business and respect what you're trying to do and work with you. Right now, right away, the automatic gates go up and they start throwing things at you. They need to remember that it's a business. I mean, they're selling money, and we need to grow the country. And if you got a good solid plan, work with you. You got to make money easily available, low interest, so we can grow, because we create livelihoods in a lot of banks. People just forget you're about creating livelihoods too. And also, Rich, like you said, we're about making money. When you make money, you feel confident, you grow your business.
And Mark, to that point, and this is all of my business associates are so tone deaf at hearing this sermon from the mount when it comes to banking, but the banks have a direct and material, they benefit directly from businesses growing, from jobs being created. Banks have always been one of the stabilizers in our economy because of their guarantees and the things that our banking system can offer. When it comes to helping businesses along, they can benefit from that in a true material way. And last week, Larkin was talking about the lady with the miniature golf business. And I wanted to clarify, because I didn't mean to suggest that having a private investor, that there's anything wrong with that. Each business owner has his or her unique set of needs. There's just a variety of reasons why we've not gone that path. And our great preference is to go through the banking system, which we have to involve in our business, RJL. We're involved with banking and finance every single day because of our customers, some of whom are actually in that industry, big financial institutions who are in that industry. So we're directly involved with it every single day. They went from lax giving a loan essentially to anyone to now, what is it that you need to do as a sustainable established business to get some kind of funding and financing? You can only finance yourself legally and legitimately so much as a small business. This is where banks traditionally have always come in, but they're really MIA right now, in my opinion. And the problem that the government has is the government gave taxpayer money, but it's problematic for government to tell private industry, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to give this business X amount, you have to give that industry X amount. Government can't do that. But yet they can give, as they did, the TARP funds. So you know, where do we meet in the middle on this?
That's right. And I'm trying to discuss this issue because many people are considering going into business. I see many of the people who've been unemployed have great working skills, have skills that could be used in a business, but they are also going to be discouraged if they go to a bank looking for some support, even with a great plan from Larkin Connolly and SCORE. Larkin, what would you recommend that the banks do to make this an easier process? When you say that they give you 6 weeks for a long no, that's really not appropriate. There should be a 4-day or a 1-week, a seven-day week should be it. You should know in a week that you can shop around, not 6 weeks to discourage you with a long no.
Some of the local and regional banks have a 24-hour, 48-hour guaranteed turnaround. They'll tell you right away. You have to submit all the paperwork, and you can't blame them for wanting to have all that information. But, you know, historically, and just by the nature of the business, banking is involved in risk. I mean, that's what it is. It's risk. Mark is selling things that were made in America. They're still, as Rich said, they're selling money. Their product is money. And small businesses need money to start, to grow, to maintain themselves. I think the banks have need to understand that they're going to have to take a little bit more risk in order to get us out of the ditch that we're in right now.
The reason I'm promoting this so much is I feel that many small businesses coming into existing, then working more with small business stores and business merchandisers, is going to be where more of our people are going to be employed in the future. The big factories and things are starting to be shown that they're not going to come back, and that's not really what we're going to do. But small communities working within their small communities, that networking is going to be a lot better, similar to what Mark has done with the Made in America store. He got a lot of those people together. They're focusing on him as promoting their products, selling their products. I think this is going to have to be a solution for the future.
Well, we're still building cars, and we're building more cars now than we ever have. To say that we're not going to get in to big item manufacturing, I don't think is right. I think we can get back into that. But again, it's going to take the sponsorship and the support of local, state, and federal governments to promote that growth, and B, get out of the way.
And guarantee that they're a success. The small business administrations across the USA, all the little town groups that they have, chamber of commerce and all, they really should be doing more than they're doing to promote that. Whether the business is small or a larger size business, we have to help those businesses to get up and going, and then circulate their products within their field of influence.
Wouldn't it have been nice with the stimulus money or the TARP money to be tied to an entrepreneur plan, or Larkin would score, or, you know, a plan specifically to help the entrepreneur or the small business, 50 and under employees, get off the ground with a low-interest loan, or they'd help with the risk, similar to the SBA. But wouldn't it have been nice to put that money to good use to grow the company or country?
And to your point about the chambers of commerce, unfortunately, the banks belong to the chamber also, so they have an equal vote. But I will say, in Pennsylvania, we have an opportunity right now to make an enormous, enormous statement, and that is this liquor LCB business. Mm-hmm. They want very badly to turn liquor stores into, give them back to free enterprise. My concern is that they're going to take these stores and they're going to put them out to bid, and the people who are going to get the stores are going to be the people who have the money, who don't need this. I mean, we have an opportunity now to take a liquor store on 6th Avenue up here and give it to the manager and make him an entrepreneur, or find somebody, offer him that opportunity. If he doesn't want it, that's fine. Then step out and find somebody that you can sponsor into business, into a retail business like that, and then just watch them and help them and push them along the way. We could start 500 or 600 new businesses in this state.
Well, with I don't know much that I would be an expert in NAFTA and CAFTA, but I thought many people said at the time that that was going to help us to get our products to foreign countries, as well as have foreign countries' products come to us. That never turned around. We're getting all foreign country products, and nothing from America is going overseas to the level, to the regular guy on the street. Product that's not there.
I can, you know, guys, I can tell you from my own customer base, many of whom are small businesses, making cookies, making clothing, making metal manufacturing parts, and having these conversations over and over. It's a broken record where we have this talk, and they tell me, some of these guys in business 10, 20 years, and they say, Rich, we are ready to expand. But we can't drain the bank account. You know, we can't drain the bank account at the risk of going under. And we have this conversation about capital, and I really feel for them because it's I'm not the Robin. Truly, me, I'm not the Robin Hood of corporate America. But you know, how much longer are the people who were doing business the right way for 5, 10, 20 years? How much longer are these guys going to get screwed over? I mean, when do we say, okay, now is the time? This guy's high risk, so don't give him a loan. This one, well, there's always, Mark, you said it, there's always inherent risk. By the way, there's also inherent risk, Mark, in not giving capital at all. And the risk that we've seen not giving capital, we're seeing it. Business is closing, business is not expanding. I like to focus on the not expanding part because many of our own customers, I'm sure many of your suppliers and customers as well, they have the same conversations with you. We're ready to grow. We're ready to expand, but we can't do it. We don't have the money for it.
You guys are on South Street. I mean, occupancy right now on South Street, one of our major retail thoroughfares, is probably at 75% right now.
Right.
Occupancy. That's 25% of those stores are closed.
Yeah. I do remember, say, 10 years ago, everybody was occupied, and it was a great place. And now it's, you know, it's unfortunate to pass and see this happening in a great part of town like that. That just that doesn't lend itself to what our cities, let's focus on Philadelphia, but I'm sure this is happening across the USA. Our city leaders are not trying to keep that base, that tax base, happy and people coming in to support that tax base.
That's because, clearly, because I've discussed jobs with a lot of them, that's clearly because they have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to say that accusatory. They're politicians. They're not businessmen. They don't understand going to bed at night and staring at the ceiling and trying to figure out how you're going to make payroll. They don't understand how you're going to keep sales flowing in the channel that you operate in. They just don't understand. So when you talk about jobs, they think jobs, J-O-B-S, jobs.
Right.
But they don't understand empty retail spaces. They don't understand manufacturing in Philadelphia. 30% of the people that lived in Philadelphia worked in the manufacturing sector 30 years ago. Right now, it's less than 5%.
Yes.
It's less than 5%, and we've turned into a meds and eds.
Right. You're absolutely right, Larkin.
You know, so, but you can't expect a guy like Greenlee, and I'll call him out. I mean, this guy has never worked anywhere except inside City Hall. He was a chief of staff for another city councilman. That guy died. He inherited the spot. He's been a politician all his life. He wouldn't know a cash register if it came up and knocked him out.
Yeah. Oh, very well said. Larkin, that was very well said. But we have to be factual about these things. So many of the people said, well, 15 years ago, well, I'm getting a better deal at the store. I know the things are manufactured abroad, but I'm getting a great deal. But as time went on, as unemployment hit their families, they're seeing that this deal became a nightmare. And no one knows how to turn the nightmare around. We don't have a Wizard of Oz over here that's going to help us and advise us what to do. In fact, on a national level, we have 535 people, but not even one of them is the Wizard of Oz trying to help us out. We do more discussions on small businesses, jobs on this broadcast than most of the 535 people do in Washington, D.C. And following up on a comment that I made about a month ago is I've asked people in Washington, who can they direct me to that is the elected official that is handling the small business ideas and also jobs for Americans? I'm still waiting. Larkin, you're in the system. You know, is there anybody that you can recommend?
Yeah, there is, and I'm going to have to look his name up because I've already forgotten about it. But we talked about him the week before last.
Met him. Mark had met him.
Steve King?
Yeah, well, yes.
He was a senator from Maine, and that led you to that organization.
Exactly. And he chairs the Senate Subcommittee on Small Business.
And now, have you heard any reports on what he's accomplished?
No. I went to the site, and I think Mark and I and Rich were talking about it, and I unfortunately did not go back to see what they're doing, what they're sponsoring, what's important to them?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, I did see such a site, and I will tell you what's linked on that site. When you go to these sites, they send you to the labor and industry site and everything that is not of no interest to you. It gives you no information about where the job trend is happening, what's coming up in the field of new job skills needed for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, which the federal government should be promoting through all its industrial arts program, for all the money that they're sending to our school districts. Who is the leader? Senator King sounds like he's a nice guy, but go to those sites and all you'll find is links to other sites that direct you to nowhere as well.
Well, we don't have a patron saint of small business.
Or jobs.
We really don't. And I think it's basically because politicians are politicians. It would be like, you know, calling out the House of Representatives and saying, you have to do something to promote more dentists in America. Well, they don't know the difference between an incisor and a whatever tooth. I mean, what can they do? They don't understand the business.
So what we're saying now is that we don't have a patron saint for jobs or small businesses. Now, if that was happening in a small business and the person wasn't producing their job, what would we do with them?
Well, you'd either get kicked out for not being able to pay your rent, or you'd willingly go. Either way, you put an out of business sign on the door.
So should most of those 535 people in Washington deserve what, Rich?
Well, they're already members. Well, first off, they're already members of the Why Work Party. But if you want to call them, you need to wait about 3.5 weeks because they're still on vacation right now.
I can't believe that either.
Yeah, they're on their vacay. You know, maybe they'll go to the mini golf business.
Ooh,
Larkin.
I'd like to just have a couple of them down there to play the course.
I don't doubt that some of our elected officials at least spend some time talking about this.
Yeah,
anyone can talk, right? I mean, well, these guys can talk good. Most anyone can talk. Talking is the first step. You know, we had the president. Larkin brought the article in last week. The president was in Tennessee, I think it was, talking about potential tax breaks, creating jobs, business. The talk is a start. Talking specifics is a better start. But maybe you guys feel the same way. I think talk is just, it's always around us. And then you wait for the results of it, and you can't get the elected official because he or she's on vacation or out for re-election,
right,
or whatever the case might be. So I don't doubt these officials do talk about it, but I think they probably, A, just do talking about it, and B, for every moment of time and dollar that they're investing elsewhere in other interests not American, that's time that we're not getting here.
Exactly.
Right? And those officials take on the assume the responsibility of handling all of these very tough issues, economic issues. It's a bit of an oxymoron. They're quite simple, but at the same time, because we're global and our commerce is international, that globalization makes things a little less black and white than at one time they perhaps were.
Why we're bringing all of this up is because our listeners are looking for jobs, not handouts. Our listeners that are looking to go into business want to know that a bank would welcome them. And as Larkin said, family, friends, or fools.
Right.
They need to get those people together. You know, sounds terrible to say family, friends, and fools, but many successful businesses were started with the help of family, friends, and fools.
All three of them help, sure.
Yes, and this is where, you know, like even this show that we mentioned before, Shark Tank, and things like that. I mean, we should have like a board, a panel like this for people to come in to give ideas. Well, that sounds like a good idea. And now let's see if somebody should be able to support you, including a bank. How do we put pressure on those banks to do something positive? Because, man, when I hear that Mark has difficulty, you know, getting immediate money when he needs to expand or just, you know, keep himself afloat, during a hard time. That's really discouraging, because Mark is a guy who has shown that he put his heart and soul into his business. When the business had hard times, he went into something new. He opened the Made in America store, and he made that a success. And now he's involved with the Made in America movie. There, it can be done, and it will be done, if more of our people come together and help one another. We will get the jobs. We will get those stores opened again. I was driving when Rich was in town. We took a ride on one of the roads, and we counted the number of available for sale and closed signs for rent. Now, that was discouraging to see that. And I said to Rich, 5 years ago, every one of those buildings was occupied. In the last 5 years, they just closed up shop. The sign's been up there for 4 or 5 years, leasing, renting, whatever, available. But what are we going to do to fill them? And they're not huge, enormously big manufacturing places. Maybe they could fit 100 or 200 people to work there. But getting those businesses starting again, getting that competition open back up, bringing American manufacturing back to the local communities, even if they have to circulate within a tri-state area or something, we have to do that again. But as Larkin and Mark and Rich say, and I know, that without funding, without the security of some money to start that effort, we're going to go nowhere. We're going to be on the talking side of the street, just as everybody else is doing. And SCORE can mentor the people, but if they go to the bank with the best of plans, Larkin, that's where the problem is.
Well, that's where most of it starts. And again, it's a reluctance on the part of the commercial banking system to take risks. They just don't want to do it. Now imagine, they do as much work to lend a man $125,000 as they do to lend a guy up the street who's collateralized and is a very successful man $1.5 million to do what he does. On $125,000, they make what? 5%? Or so, which one do you want to do? You're going to work equally as hard on either one of those instruments. You want the rich guy. You want the big money. You want the, you know, to strike, you know, big dollars when you have to go out and lend money. So that's part of the problem. Small businesses don't need millions and millions of dollars to get started. They need $100,000, $300,000, $500,000 sometimes. And it's a painful process for a bank because there's not that much profit involved.
As the fall is approaching, I think, Larkin, if you can make some time available, maybe we're going to have to try to get a few people representing banks and all to come to some kind of a get-together, a seminar, maybe bring some of our listeners in. Maybe SCORE can get involved mentoring some people who are interested. As I go around promoting National Small Business Weekend, I see that more and more local communities are trying to work with local, deal with local, pull the people in, because they see that's where their dollar is coming from. If you could get the people to stop going to the big stores and shop local, you're going to have success.
It's happening today, right now. There's a great example out there happening everywhere from Buffalo to Biloxi, I'm telling you right now, and that's farmers markets, farm to home growing, where the Amish here in Philadelphia, I don't know who it is in Buffalo, come out and open up a farmer's market, and they sell you what they grow on their farm.
It's funny, Larkin, you bring up the Amish. I just had a bus about a week ago that came in, and Lancaster, PA. I did my bus speech, told them, you know, where we came from, what happened to me, and why the Made in America store exists. And they came off, and half of the bus were Amish, not Mennonites, Amish directly. And, they, you know, I shake their hands as they come in, and they said, thank you for what you're doing for America. And I was really surprised with the comments. The first time out of the 225 buses, we had half of an Amish bus. And they really understood and were really thankful for the Made in America store. But it showed me that they love their country, too, and they believe in building products in your home. And, you know, when you go around your local communities and you buy stuff, and you talk to people, it's a good feeling. It's good to get out and talk to people and see how things work. I think that's real important to get back into your small towns.
I do love to go out. And, of course, as I said, I'll be looking forward to going to some of these festivals and events and seeing people over the Labor Day weekend, because letting people know what's happening is really important. And I want to say this before I pause to acknowledge some of our sponsors. I want to thank the people that are spreading the word, because your words, your actions have turned into a new solidarity movement. And if anything we need in America, it's solidarity. We need to stick together, show that we are able to move forward. If we have more people in Washington to lead us, it'll help. But if we don't, we will be able to do it on our own simply by the way we circulate our hard-earned dollars here in the USA. And please give me a few moments to just acknowledge some of our very faithful sponsors. The office of Dr. Vojimius Zinn and Everest Dental is located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. For all of your dental needs, contact Dr. Zinn at 215-671-0188. And Yolanda Konopatska, the Scipio attorney at law, is available to handle all of your legal matters. For more information, give her a call at 215-423-4824. And if you are planning a trip anytime now or anytime in the year, I encourage you to contact the Polish American Travel Service. They're located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia's Port Richmond section. For more information, call the Polish American Travel Service at 215-634-3396. And when you are out shopping in your favorite supermarket, look for Giorgio products. They are a symbol of quality since 1928. And if you're still doing some traveling, may I encourage you to come to historic Philadelphia, visit Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or New York. By going to tristatevisitors.com, you'll find many links very interesting to you. And Dr. Eva Maciak also invites you to contact her for all of your dental needs. She has two offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One is at 3084 Armingo Avenue. The other is at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. Contact Dr. Eva Maciak at 215-739-2787. And the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA, is celebrating their 140th anniversary of service to Polonia. They offer life insurance plans, annuities, fraternal benefits, and so much more. For more information, you can call their Philadelphia branch office located on the corner of Thompson Street and Allegheny Avenue at 215-425-3807. And the law firm of Dominik Rostocki is located on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street in Center City, Philadelphia. You can always call Dominik Rostocki at 215-575-7624 or visit him on the internet at rostocki.com. And Martin Bednarek, president of the Washington Savings Bank, Kazimierz Wielki, and their five locations in the Philadelphia area, wishes all of you the very best. And if you need any type of auto body repairs, remember that Serena's Auto Body Shop has two locations to assist you. One is at 6201 Oxford Avenue. That's off Oxford Avenue and the Boulevard in Northeast Philadelphia. And the other one is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, call Serena's Auto Body Shop at 215-535-6606. And also, Mr. Anthony Szuszczewicz, president of Polonia Bank, reminds you that they have seven locations in Philadelphia to serve you. For more information, give them a call at 215-938-8688 or visit the Polonia Bank near you. And the Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal insurance organization, wants to remind you that they offer life insurance plans and they have great individual retirement accounts and IRAs, and they have PNA tax-deferred annuities as well. For more information about PNA, give them a call at their national toll-free number, 1-800-621-3723. And for great Polish and American food and products, may I encourage you to visit Polka Deli. They're located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, where you'll always find great Polish-style meats and deli products, as well as imported items from Poland and many Polish-American products as well. For more information, you can contact Polka Deli at area code 215-634-3750. As you heard by the list of the people that are helping sponsor our broadcast, many of them, or all of them, are small businesses. So they depend on you supporting them, and hopefully in the future, even more businesses will help us with our efforts here on American Workers Radio. And before we get back to our guests, I want to remind you that you can listen to rebroadcasts of American Workers Radio 24 hours a day by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And when you go on that site, you'll find several links, including the Blihash plan, which we're going to talk more about in future broadcasts. You'll also be able to check out the debt clock. Click on that and see exactly what we're talking about. We can't live in a country where the majority of our people are not working instead of working. Look at the U.S. debt clock, analyze some of those statistics, and you'll see exactly why so much of what we discuss is so important for the USA. Also, on the link, you'll find AmeriLoop and also Go For Made in America. And there's the Mark Andel link is up there as well. You can check that out by hitting it on American Made in America store. Or when you go on the front page, you can try out hitting Larkin Connolly's photo and it'll go right to Score Philadelphia. You can hit Rich Loges and it'll go right to his site. You'll know what he's offering and what he has to, you know, do for you in order to make your business a success. And when you go to Mark Andel's photo, just click on that and it goes right to his store and you'll see all the products that he's offering. Hopefully within the year, we'll be able to hear Mark saying that he has many, many more products on his product list. And when you're on that site as well, check out the American Made Movie Press links. There are several of them up there. And I want to thank Mike Sessions for sending me several of them. And when you check them out, take a few minutes or a few minutes each. You'll be really impressed with what more and more people are doing to not only promote the movie, but also to support the efforts of American Made here in the USA. Well, going back, I'd like to turn to Mark right now. And Mark, it's coming closer and closer to Labor Day. What do you think is going to be happening as we begin the new season of going back to work and getting the kids back to school?
You know, I hope it, you know, we remain positive. And any time you get weather change, especially up here in Buffalo, you get that change. The school bus keeps coming. Again, you know, we've got school supplies, and that's a big, that's the second largest retail business time of the year other than the holidays. I just hope to see, you know, more jobs created, more work. You know, unfortunately in Buffalo, I hear more stories of people getting, you know, losing jobs. So we got to continue to grow. We got to think positive. You got to keep everybody positive, and you know, keep promoting that Buy Local, Buy American campaign, and think, you know, get these people, as this is a big fourth quarter coming up, get people to think and understand what that purchase means. And I think we're definitely raising the awareness. We're making people feel, and it feels good, and we're showing them it feels good to spend money in your own country and know that it created or saved a job. So I just think we got to keep what we're doing. I hope for the best. I hope for a super strong quarter for everybody.
Very good. Well said. Rich, if you were the guy in charge of promoting brand new companies in the USA, what would you try to add to make that happen?
You know, this the discussion that we're having about small businesses, there is no magic elixir about what causes a business to succeed or fail. Many good ideas fail for a variety of reasons. This is what enterprise is about. It's about business owners being left to their own devices in the sense of sustaining themselves and working through what works as a business. And it's why small businesses, they offer something that typically your bigger stores and bigger businesses don't, which is, and I can give you an example just in Philadelphia last week, and I'll give them a free shout out here. Henry and I went to Bluebond Guitars. It's a guitar shop. Went in and had a conversation, bought some items, probably cost a little more than it may have at a larger store. But that business is succeeding because they're doing a number of things right, just like any small business. So there's no magic formula to all of this. And I do agree, and I think perhaps our panel would agree, that a business that's just starting out, that doesn't really have a plan, that doesn't know what to do, how to do, those are companies that are probably best to not let play around the bank's money. But there are many businesses that are not that way. There are many businesses that have had success, that have proven that success time and time again, that have more than proven their enterprising and entrepreneurial skills. When are we going to have an honest conversation in the U.S. to say these businesses are going to be at the forefront of job creation? 80% of our employment is via small business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when are we going to have this honest conversation to try to meet in the middle? At one time, the banks relaxed. Now people can't get money. Where do we come to the middle on all of this? Because small businesses, they're going to be a huge demographic that's going to lead any job growth that we're going to have in the future. It's very clear that that's the case.
I want to ask a question of both Larkin and also Mark. If you, or do you know of such a program, either public or private, say a company is successful in Buffalo or Pennsylvania, is there someone looking to say, well, that's a success in Buffalo and it's a product used by every American? Is this something that we can duplicate within another community, in another state, in another county? I don't know of anything like that. Do you know of anything like that, Larkin?
Well, I'm going to let Mark go first.
You know, it's funny.
That's a tough question because, you know, I like the idea. Could you see that, Mark? Duplicating stores like yourself in different communities.
Mark sees it all the time.
Yeah, you know, with all the, of course, with all the press and whatnot, we get asked, one-third of my emails, responses after being on Fox or World News is, you know, one-third was products they had, one-third we love what you're doing, thank yous, and one-third was we want franchises, we want one of your stores in every state. You know, lately, last week, after the film crew, there was 11 of them on that bus for 32 days, and as they get, you know, find out their name again and get back to work promoting this movie and getting it across the country, the American-made movie, they, you know, the one gentleman called me, and he's involved with screening, and, you know, all the places they stop, the 32 cities, a lot of them want private meetings, private screenings. They might want me to, you know, do a speech or be involved or meet me or whatever. So he was asking me, what do you think? And he also said that Connecticut, the chamber and the business organization, they want to fly out and meet me because they're trying to grow new things and growth, and they love the idea of the store. And I think, I'm guessing that meeting's going to be about maybe building one of them stores in that state. So that just came up to me, what you're asking. That was the only help that ever reached out. I mean, from the movie, somebody seen and said, oh, my God, you know, we'd love to get something like that up here. So, and what's neat with the store, again, it's not just a retail store. We're supporting 400 manufacturers. So with your dollar, you're not only getting a good quality product, you're feeling good about it, you're putting money back to these manufacturers. These manufacturers hire a couple more people. It all works. That's the spider web effect that people miss and how America was grown.
The spider web effect is the right thing. Larkin, you were going to add to that.
Well, the SBA has a thing, SCORE has a thing nationally that we do called success stories. And I may read and or watch a full motion video on a success story in San Diego or Seattle. And I spread that word. It's encouragement to everybody to see somebody do something successfully. But there are no protections. There's copyright laws, you know, trademark laws, patents, that type of thing. But usually if it's a retail idea, like Mark, what Mark would sell as a franchisee is that he brings the knowledge of being able to do this overnight without having to go through what he went through. Could he copyright it? Well, he could copyright the name. There are certain things about that business he might be able to copyright. But he can't stop anybody from doing it. All he can do is help a lot.
And he can help start up.
Start. I mean, Mark, tell me how many hours you've put into developing channels to find products that were made in America.
You know, that's what nobody realizes, the research we've invested, family, exactly. children, friends, into each product. They carry letters of authenticity, get it on their letterhead. To go 30 hours about a product and then find out it was a used car salesman, you know, at the end, or, you know, they just won't come through with it. You know, I do I do have all my intellectual properties, you know, protected pretty well. We've encouraged with our distribution center, now that we have 5,000 products under one roof, any store in the country or world will supply products, and that's just taken effect now that we could do a store in a store. We can do more licensing. The one problem I had with franchising was you've got to make sure you have a trust. Now, I have employees, and a lot of times the people that wanted franchises didn't ever, you know what it takes to run a business. That's a big scare. They love the idea. They have passion for it. Also, in mine, such a specialty retail store or retail destination, you could slide imports or you could go on the media and swing that all one way. I've stayed for America, which is very hard. So there was a lot of concerns on my side. I wanted to be 100% owner now, too, and have company source, but supply products to anybody that wants them in the country. So there's a lot into that, Larkin, you know, with protection and how you grow it. And, of course, you want to help. I've done it for the mission and the movement, too. So a lot to it.
Yeah, I give you credit, and I want to tell you, Mark, you have no idea the fan club you have through this radio broadcast. They admire you because, you know, especially the situation where you went from hard times to better times and hard times and better times, that takes a lot of courage to do that, which is sometimes lacking in most people. People want to be an instant success, but that's not always the way it is.
And Mark, I can tell you from experience, of personal experience, and also just watching a lot of entrepreneurs, it gets easier. Even when you have failures and even when you have setbacks, when you're 60 years old, there's a word that starts with S that you'll use, and you'll extend that word out a long way and just keep on trucking. Whereas when you're 30 and 40 years old, you take it personally, you work that much harder, you get that much more upset with things that happen. But I love to sit down and talk to a 60-year-old entrepreneur. I mean, it's just classic. I mean, they're in a whole lot they haven't seen.
You know, I have to tell you guys, this is really important. I feel good when people tell me, when I listen to all of you discussing, I feel like I'm speaking to family and friends, that you're talking sense. You're making, you know, making me understand better what it takes to run a business. Many people had the idea that you just walk in the door and the next thing you know, money is falling in from doors and windows and, you know, from the ceiling. That's not how it is. Businesses take a tremendous amount of work. It's a lot of anguish to make sure the payroll is met and the bills are paid in good times and in bad. Some people, if you have a snowstorm up in Buffalo, Mark, and it closes you down for 2 weeks, your utility companies and all don't care. They want the money even though you may not have had many customers come in the door. But by small people in the communities helping small businesses, it is helping to keep those communities alive. When Rich was in Philadelphia, I drove him through some of the communities to show him that there is a tremendous amount of life in our Philadelphia communities. And that's why, and we even passed some stores that have our National Small Business Weekend posters in them and all. That's really important that we, the American people, support our own first. We don't mind having in the imported products, no problem. But when we reach that 50-50 balance, then we'll be able to say we've reached a goal and now maybe we can move more toward American made. But it's going to be a long time before we get to that 50-50 balance of the clothes that we have on our back, the shoes that we have, the school bags that I went to the store to talk about last week. I mean, everything is made in America. There are some school bags made in the USA, and they will cost you 20% more. And the store person told me that people are buying the school bag for 20% more because they feel they must support American. And that's the purpose of our broadcast. We must support one another first. If we don't do it, who are we going to expect to do it?
I believe right now in the United States, we are sitting on what really would amount to a gold mine when we think about all of the companies that are based here but have at least part of their operation overseas. And I don't care if it's even a tiny bit of a business, of a Chevron or ExxonMobil or an Apple. You take a little bit from all of those companies cumulatively, and that is a lot to come back here. If you look at the top 500 companies in our country right now, I might stand corrected on this stat, but I'm certain that I believe it's 50% of those 500 companies have their European business over in Ireland. Now, why do we think, guys, the number one reason is that they're in Ireland? Because their tax rate is at 10%. So the European part of their business, they get to pay 10% tax. Oh, and by the way, they get to also in part defer some of their U.S. corporate income tax, some of which hasn't been paid in decades. And I want to tell you guys something. In my opinion, we're not going to see that money anyway. We're never going to see that money anyway. So we need to have a discussion on whether and how we can bring those jobs, that commerce, that economy back here. So I think we're sitting on that gold mine, but we need to start doing the digging. And I want to tell you guys something. If we don't start doing that digging, other countries will, because they've already started.
That's right. That's exactly right. I have to say, can you imagine, just sit back and imagine how much better our life would be here in the USA if our economy had another 10 to 15 million people employed. It's almost unbelievable to think that would be 10 to 15 million people. If they only spend $1 a day, that's $10 or $15 million going back into our economy. They would be able to spend that dollar and support the businesses that are trying to make it and pay their bills. Larkin, you've been an enormous supporter of SCORE and getting businesses to understand what it takes to bring a business about and make it a success or a failure.
Yeah, and I say, as a great takeaway, in all the time I've spent at SCORE, I've discovered one thing. Entrepreneurs, a true entrepreneur, not a small businessman, an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs don't fail. They never fail. They quit.
They quit, yes. Mark, I want to thank you again. I want you to keep us posted as to what the American Made movie is doing to come into the different cities. We have a lot that we're going to do to promote the film here in Philadelphia. And of course, we'll do our best to promote it across the USA too. And for all of you listening, as I mentioned earlier, check out the links on the American Made movie. You'll see Mark and the producers of the movie. And Mark, you're featured in that movie. So that's, we're going to see more of you. What percentage of the movie are you in, Mark?
Yeah, I end up being a major part of the storyline, which was a blessing, the entrepreneurship. And it was nice to be, and they used us from General Welding all the way to the Made in America. So quite real interest, and a lot of my family members are in it. And that was a blessing and a surprise. So, yeah, thank you. The American Made movie, it's just going to make change, and I pray it goes in every school and really to the colleges, because it's a movie that can wake the country up.
And I want to tell you, just by what I've heard from all of the things that we saw on the American Made movie press link and what I've seen and heard, positive change is happening. I want to thank you, Mark, for being with us. Rich, thanks again for joining our panel. And Larkin, thank you again. And thanks to Henry Chaplinsky. And for all of you that are tuned in, my very best. We'll be looking forward to having you visit us again next Wednesday at 11, or I'll see you on Saturday at 11. Until then, my best wishes, and best wishes from all of us here at American Workers Radio.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a great day.